Won't you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50, we'll begin reading in verse 22. And we're going to read the final words recorded in the Scriptures from the lips of Joseph. And we've had a great time studying his life. And truthfully, we've studied him, but as we've studied him, we're really learning about the Lord. And we've seen how he's trusted God and how God's proved himself. And he ends in a great way. I want you to notice, I'm sure that if you've had a loved one or a family member to go home to be with the Lord, I'm sure you remember the last words or some of the very last words that they said to you. And when we enter into this scene, we find Joseph speaking his last words to his family here. Look in Genesis 50, verse 22. The Bible says, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren," remember these are the ones who betrayed him so many years earlier. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." I want you to mark what Joseph reiterates. He gives this great statement to us that helps us to see that he's not only a man who lived in faith, but he's a man who died with his faith in God. I want you to learn in verse 24 the two words, God will surely visit you. And then again in verse 25, he said again, God will surely visit you. You know, faith is not believing that God can. Faith is believing God will. Faith is not just saying, well, God is able, but faith is saying, God is going to do this. This is his promise. This is his word. And I know that God will do these things. And when Joseph saw those brothers whom he had forgiven, whom he had released from the guilt that they might seek to carry, he had released them from that. He's 110 years old now. He's dying. He's seen, the Bible says, his children, even his grandchildren, even his great-grandchildren, the Bible says, to the third generation. He lived a long life, being 110 years old, and God's richly blessed him. But the last things that came out of his mouth were things of faith and things of faith in God. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, the land of Egypt was a land that was full of faith, but it was filled with faith in the wrong things, false gods. But right in the heart of that, God had placed someone, in fact, a family of people, but Joseph in leadership here, God had placed someone who had faith in the right person, in Jesus Christ. Joseph had a living faith because the object of his faith was the Lord himself. And Joseph expressed that faith. I want you to notice something with me. Turn back in Genesis to Genesis chapter 12. And Joseph is speaking about a promise here. I want you to notice where this promise began. It will grow. It will be continually given. But it's first given in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. When God spoke to Abram, as before his name was even changed, to Abraham. But the Bible says in Genesis 12, 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now that's where this promise started that Joseph is talking about. How did Joseph hear about it? Well, Abraham talked about the promise God made. God promised him a land. God promised him a seed. In fact, he said, of that seed would come a great nation. And then God promised that in him and in that nation, through that nation, all families of the earth would be blessed. Well, how could all families of the earth be blessed? The Bible's speaking here of the Messiah. That's who he's speaking of. And of course, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, would come. He was a Jew. He was of his father Abraham. So the promise begins. How did it get to Joseph? Abraham expressed the promise to his son Isaac. In fact, God himself reiterated the promise to Isaac. Then Isaac had sons. Remember Jacob and Esau. Isaac passed on this truth, this promise of God's word to his son Jacob, who was Joseph's father. And of course, God reiterated the promise directly to Jacob. Now we come down to this next generation. You've got Abraham and then his son Isaac and then his grandson Jacob. And now you've got the great-grandson Joseph. And Joseph now has lived 110 years. And now the last words coming from his lips, in this world at least, he looks at his brothers, he looks at the children of Israel who are standing around him, and he says, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. You see, Abraham had faith in that promise, and Isaac did, and Jacob did, and now Joseph does. Isn't it wonderful to think that our faith can encourage the faith of the next generation? And that's what took place here. And Joseph, as a young man, heard this promise. He knew it was the promise of God. It was the word of God. And he chose, as a young man and throughout his life, and now as an old dying man, he's still choosing to have a real living faith, to trust the word of God. Isn't that, that's powerful to me. That's a great testimony. We've studied so many wonderful things about his life, but just think about, what if he died wrong? What if he died without faith in God? What if he died questioning all that God had done? I'm glad that it didn't end that way, aren't you? I'm glad that he finished his life right. And we need to all ask God, Lord, help me to finish right. Help me to keep a faith that's real and alive and genuine and hold to the promises of the Word of God to my very last breath on this earth. Because there's something very glorifying to God about someone who does that. And Joseph has been so Christ-like throughout, and he's Christ-like here. We find that Joseph said something different. Look at verse 25. He said, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now, last week we looked at the story of when Dad dies. And when his dad died, he said, I want you to take me immediately, take my body up to the land of Canaan, where I've already buried Rachel, and I want to be buried there. There's a place there to be buried. And remember, we talked about the huge funeral procession that went up to the land of Canaan, the promised land, and they buried Jacob. Well, when Joseph is dying, he doesn't make the same request. He said, you wait for God to keep his promise because God will do this. I know God will. And when God does lead this nation out of Egypt, when he does, I want you to carry my bones out from here. And it says in verse 26, the Bible says they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, I don't know where they kept that coffin, but it's evidently just a coffin filled with his bones. And they kept that body. They didn't put it in a permanent burial place. Somebody guarded over those bones. And if we know history and study the Word of God, we understand that the children of Israel are going to spend 430 years down in Egypt. 430 years. But we find as we walk through the Bible that they still kept up with these bones. They didn't lose track. And I imagine that whoever had the guardianship of these bones, whoever kept that coffin, understood the reason we're watching over this is because God has made a promise. God's going to get us out of here. God will do these things. Joseph, my grandfather or great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, he died with that promise on his lips. He died believing God, and we're still believing the same God. We're still believing his word. We're going to hang on to these bones till God gets us out of here. Turn to Exodus chapter 13 and notice with me in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. Remember in Exodus, God proves that he's greater than every god of Egypt through mighty power. And he leads the children of Israel out 430 years after Joseph's time. And the Bible says in Exodus 13, 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Moses took them out, and they wandered in the wilderness. And then we find in Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32, we find that Moses had fallen off the scene. Joshua led the children of Israel into that promised land. It says in verse 32, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. You know, Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. Remember, that's one of Joseph's two sons. And Joshua had a special interest, and he took these bones in and he buried them. And I'm sure that it was a great day of rejoicing when he did, because he understood that for over 430 years, for nearly 500 years' time, basically, God kept his promise, and now God's word is fulfilled. You know, there's nothing like living by faith. And that's what we can find, that's what we can be encouraged to do when we look at the life of Joseph. I want you to notice, first of all, salvation is by faith. What will God do in the matter of salvation? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He said, what can we believe God will do in the matter of salvation? Well, here it is. If we come to him in faith, he said, "I will in no wise cast you out." Do you remember the day you got saved? Remember when you trusted God, when you believed the word of God, that you're a sinner, that he's the only Savior? What did God do? Here's what he did. God kept his word. He saved your soul. And we can be encouraged, and we can encourage others to help them to know, this is what God will do. You can put your faith in him. This is what God will do in the matter of salvation. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save your soul. He'll make you a child of God. Then we see, secondly, the matter of living by faith. What will God do in the matter of our daily living? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. We were introduced to Joseph when he was 17. We conclude with his life when he's 110. And my heart's convicted to think of what a life of faith he lived. God was real to him. And for too many of us, we live too many days as if God is not really real. We live too many days not demonstrating the reality of God because we're not putting our faith in God. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 reminds us, if we're going to please God, we have to live a life of faith. It's impossible to please him otherwise. And when we got saved, that was not the end of our faith. That was the beginning of our faith. And we need to continue growing in Christ, with the Lord becoming more and more real every day as we faith him and as we trust him. And then we notice very specifically in this story, not only the matter of salvation by faith and living by faith, but we notice also particularly in this story, the matter of dying by faith. Look what Joseph said again in verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And he looks in the face of death. And truthfully, he's not really looking in the face of death at all. He's just looking in the face of his Savior. And he understands, I've put my faith in God. I've trusted his word. I've followed him all these years. Now I'm dying, and I can have faith that the same God who's been true to his word all throughout my life will stay with me and will be true to his word even here in my death. You see, faith that's good for living is certainly faith that's good for dying. And Joseph said, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. He said, brethren, I die. And he faced even his own death with confidence in God and in God's word. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And the faith that helps us to trust him right now is a faith, the same faith in the same one that we need in the hour that God takes us to be with him. It's faith for salvation. It's faith for living. It's faith for dying. And it's all exemplified in such a wonderful way here in the life of one of the most Christ-like men in all the Bible. And that's Joseph. Let's pray together.